Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to FSN E-Commerce Ventures Limited 2Q FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Morgan Stanley India Company Private Limited. At this moment, all participant lines are in the listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, you may click on Raise Hand icon from the toolbar to ask a question. Participants connected via telephone call may enter star and one on their telephone keypad to ask a question. Please note that this conference is now being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Sheela Rathi, India Consumer Analyst at Morgan Stanley. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Inba. Hello, everyone, and on behalf of Morgan Stanley, I welcome you all for the FSN E-Commerce earnings conference call. Thank you very much, Nykaa team for giving Morgan Stanley the opportunity to host you all for the 2Q FY23 earnings conference call. Without any further delay, let me hand over the call to Ms. Sunita Sachdev, IR and Strategy, to take the call forward.
Thank you, Sheela. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the conference call. We'll be covering this evening the results for the quarter ended 30th September 2022. On the call with me from FSN E-Commerce Ventures Limited is Mrs. Falguni Nayar, Executive Chairperson, MD and CEO, Mr. Anchit Nayar, Executive Director and CEO, Beauty and E-Commerce, Ms. Adwaita Nayar, Executive Director, Co-founder, CEO, Fashion, Mr. Vikas Gupta, CEO, eB2B and International, Mr. Arvind Agrawal, our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Vishal Gupta, Executive Vice President, Private Brands, and Mr. Rajesh Uppaluri, Chief Technology Officer. We will start the presentation with Falguni sharing an overview of our performance in this quarter. Before we get started with the presentation, I'd like to draw your attention to the disclaimer for good order. With that, over to you, Falguni.
Thanks, Sunita, and good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on the call, and it is always a pleasure to interact with all of you. I will begin with a short presentation, and we'll be happy to take questions after. Our GMV for the quarter is at rupees 23.46 billion, which has recorded a 45% year-on-year growth. Revenue has also grown at 39% year-on-year, and it now stands at rupees 12.3 billion. We are happy to report our EBITDA growth, which has more than doubled year-on-year at rupees 611 million, achieving an EBITDA margin of 5% for this quarter. Profit before tax is at 88 million rupees, and profit after tax is at 52 million rupees. Our beauty GMV has sustained growth at 39% on a year-on-year basis, and the fashion GMV has grown at 43% on a year-on-year basis. Visibility to business growth is strong despite consumer environment normalizing as we have gained from our omni-channel presence. Our new business delivered a 1.2 billion in GMV contribution, which is heartening. These are early-stage businesses, so we believe this strong growth should sustain. Just going one level lower to the breakup of GMV across businesses. Consolidated GMV, as I mentioned earlier, grew 45% year-on-year. This is truly a commendable performance from our team and a testament to the investment we have built into people, technology, and capacity. Our beauty GMV grew 39% year-on-year. Our online and offline presence in beauty has delivered strong growth momentum while gaining from efficiencies across the value chain. Our fashion GMV grew 43% year-on-year as we continue to stay committed to and investing in building a unique customer proposition in fashion, aided by investment in a differentiated product, collaboration with global brands, and expansion of breadth and depth of private label portfolio. As you've seen for a few quarters now, we separately provide what we call as other categories, which are new businesses that we are currently building, and that currently includes early-stage businesses like eB2B business as well as Nykaa Man. These business GMV grew by 240% year-on-year, and they now contribute to rupees 1.1 billion in revenue. Overall, another quarter of yet another strong growth in revenues along with profit delivery. I also wanted to take this opportunity to introduce you all with recent addition to Nykaa family. It gives me great pride. It gives us great pride to introduce our new Chief Technology Officer, Mr. Rajesh Upalapati, as well as our other members, Head of Private Label Brand, Mr. Vishal Gupta, and our Head of eB2B and International Business, Mr. Vikas Gupta. So Rajesh brings over 2 decades of technology experience with proven record of delivering successful world-class, large-scale, performance-critical software projects supporting multi-stage businesses. He has worked with Amazon for about 20 years across different roles and geographies with increasing responsibility. Prior to joining Nykaa, his immediate previous employment was with Intuit India. I would request Rajesh here to share a few words with our investors.
Thanks, Albany, for the warm welcome and the rich introduction. Good evening. As Albany mentioned, I've been in the software industry for more than 20 years. We developed algorithms and built large-scale distributed systems for Amazon supply chain technologies. We built product innovations to acquire and retain the next 100 million customers, ranging from video, voice, and furniture-based shopping experiences to lightweight apps for shopping in congested networks, and also gamification and content platforms that will create upper funnel engagement with our customers. Recently, as the Vice President of Product Engineering at Intuit, I was leading engineering for Intuit's TurboTax desktop and main products, along with owning the India side strategy. As I joined Nykaa, I'm really excited about the opportunity. Over the next few weeks, I intend building relationships while also understanding where we stand across the 3 P's, people, product, and process. There are 3 strategic pillars which have served me well as a tech leader in my career: creating a robust product infrastructure, essentially the plumbing and everything that goes beneath the curtains that translates to offering best-in-class security, availability, performance, and quality for our product. And then the second lever would be, how do we get fit? How do we do more with less? How do we dramatically improve our development velocity and the throughput of our innovations? And finally, embracing external technology trends. There are so many emerging technologies like crypto, meta, web, and we will start to embrace these technologies and figure out use cases to apply them, essentially implement on behalf of our customers before our competition can do it. Thank you so much.
So welcome, Rajesh. We are all very excited. In fact, now I come on to introducing Vishal Gupta. With nearly 3 decades of experience in the FMCG sector, Vishal joins Nykaa after a celebrated tenure at Unilever globally, where he led large-scale award-winning campaigns and teams. In his latest role at Unilever Russia, Vishal held the beauty and personal care business, comprising a large portfolio of international and local brands, including Lux, Surf Excel, Reel, and Sunlight, to name a few. With this, I request Vishal to come in with his own introductions and a few words to the investors.
Thanks, Falgini. Hello, everyone. As mentioned by Falgini, I bring to the table many years of experience in running businesses and building brands with high consumer love in India as well as in international markets. And honestly, that is exactly my mandate in heading the Nykaa private label brands business, which is to build a portfolio of brands with very high consumer love and scale across channels so that we deliver sustained profitable growth for the years to come. Based on my past experience as well as last few months at Nykaa, I can confidently say that our right to win comes from 3 things that we do well. First, our superior consumer understanding. Second, our ability to translate this superior consumer understanding into products that really wow our consumers. And third, our ability to create brand content that not only drives desire but also drives conversion across channels. So all in all, super excited with this opportunity to scale our house of brands into a large and profitable business for the years to come, which is really loved by our consumers. Thanks.
Thank you, Vishal. Thank you very much. We also have here our CEO for eB2B business, and he also heads the international business, Vikas Gupta. Vikas Gupta has been spearheading Nykaa's eB2B business that currently hosts Superstore by Nykaa as well as Nykaa Pro. Having held several leadership roles in the past, both at Hindustan Lever and also Flipkart before joining Nykaa, Vikas is proficient in building businesses for data-driven, digital-first enterprises. Vikas comes with over 20 years of experience at Unilever, with stints in India, Brazil, Singapore, and Indonesia. And then, as I said, more recently, he was with Flipkart in Bangalore. Some of you may have heard Vikas speak at our annual investor conference in July. With that, over to you, Vikas, to give us an update on your new business.
Thank you, Falguni, and good evening, everyone. For my introduction, Unilever was my home and my school for more than 20 years. I joined Hindustan Lever as a management trainee back in 1998 and was fortunate enough to get opportunities to work on some of the most diverse roles during my tenure in sales and distribution, in marketing, and in general management. And it transpired over 5 countries in 3 different continents. This included the global leadership of one of Unilever's biggest brands, Dirt Is Good, for 5 years. In that period, we added more than €1 billion top line, taking global market leadership away from Tide and establishing Dirt Is Good as an iconic brand across most markets, including India. Also had the opportunity to serve as the executive director and board member at Unilever Indonesia, leading its home care business, where we accelerated both the top line and bottom line growth. And, the biggest contribution that I made there was getting the next line of leadership ready to take over. I left Unilever in early 2019 because I really wanted to participate in this brave new digital economy and learn how data and technology can be harnessed to shape consumer behavior and solve real-world problems. So joined Flipkart to head its marketing and customer growth functions. And last year, I joined Nykaa to lead Nykaa Distribution and Nykaa International. I see it as the perfect opportunity for me to bring together my experiences at Unilever and Flipkart to disrupt the old, somewhat trained distribution ecosystem in the country, serve its historically underserved parts using technology, using data, and create value for all stakeholders in the process. Most of all, our customers, which is essentially the small retailer on the roadside. Coming to the Q2 business updates, I would be taking you through the other section, which you saw in the previous slide on the split of vertical performances. just as a reminder, the other business numbers includes our eB2B business. It includes our international business. It includes Nykaa Man and our new acquisitions like LBB and Nudge. I'm here to provide some insight on the scale-up of Superstore by Nykaa and the strategic partnership we recently announced with the Apparel Group in the Middle East as part of our international foray. So talking about our eB2B business, this vertical has now established its right to win as a specialist, vertically focused eB2B platform, allowing us to penetrate much deeper in the country. We are scaling this platform in a very measured and choiceful manner to ensure focus on the right unit economics from the very start. Operating within that context, it is very exciting to see that in less than a year of launch, we have more than 70,000 retailers already transacting on the platform across more than 650 cities with above expectation repeat rates and retention rates. In Q2 itself, we served over 173,000 orders and almost 20 times ramp up on a year-on-year basis. As you know, retailers have been spoiled for choice and inundated with horizontal B2B players in the last few years. So within that crowded situation, we are resonating strongly as a specialized player, an expert in beauty, personal care, and wellness segments, getting their rightful share of mind. Our key value proposition, most valued by our customers, is the selection and its discovery on the platform through relevant recommendations customized to their region and store type. We now have 182 brands listed on the platform, a 6x growth on a year-on-year basis, and there are several more in the offering. Our partnerships with brands are strengthening, and that is essentially because of the level of transparency we are able to bring to their promotional spends, ensuring high ROI that reaches its target audience without leakages, and the data intelligence that we are able to provide at the most granular level. A key strategic trend we are able to co-deliver with our brand partners is the premiumization of the offline markets, just as we have done with the beauty platform in the online B2C segment over the last 10 years or so. For several brands, we are already their primary go-to-market partner, thus democratizing distribution in the country, especially in underserved channels and underserved geographies. The next highlight of quarter two is the new partnership with the Apparel Group to undertake an omni-channel, multi-brand beauty business in the Middle East. We intend to build a strong business on the lines of Nykaa in India in the six countries of Gulf Cooperation Council, or GCC, namely UAE, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Kuwait, Oman, and Qatar. We are very excited, first and foremost, with the market opportunity that GCC presents. It is one of the most value-dense markets in the world when it comes to beauty. With a significant young population that is witnessing strong widths of positive change in terms of women rights and women empowerment, the e-commerce segment is under-penetrated but growing rapidly, significantly ahead of the total market. We view this opportunity positively and believe we can build a strong, sustainable business there with the Nykaa playbook and the Nykaa energy. There is also a symbiotic deep partnership with two partners in play here. The Apparel Group is a global fashion and lifestyle conglomerate in the Middle East. It is an offline powerhouse with more than 2,000 stores across several categories with a growing play in e-commerce as well via Sixth Street. Together with Nykaa's expertise in omnichannel beauty retail, its strong brand partnerships, its unique content-to-commerce model, and online tech capabilities, we believe we can create significant value with this joint venture. Together, the two partners share very similar values, a very similar growth ambition, but with a frugal mindset. As a quick update to our building our own brand presence internationally, I am also happy to share that we opened our first exclusive brand outlet in Mauritius last month. We have also launched our brands across e-commerce marketplaces in the UAE and the USA. Over to Anshit to take us through the performance on beauty and personal care vertical. Thank you.
Yep. Since Anshit has not been able to dial in from a business meeting, we have Ms. Falguni Nair take some of his slides. Over to you, Falguni.
Thank you, Sunitra. Thank you, everyone. I will take you through the BPC highlights for the quarter two financial year 23, which ended on 30th September 22. In terms of our business, brand partnerships remain key to our strategy, and in this quarter, we have extended our strong relationship with Estee Lauder Group in a first-of-its-kind partnership to identify and support the next generation of beauty entrepreneurs from India. This is a unique partnership which offers non-equity grants and mentorship opportunities for budding talent in the beauty industry. We also launched Priyanka Chopra's brand Anomaly in India through an exclusive arrangement with Nykaa. This fits beautifully with our strategy of upgrading existing consumers to premium personal care products. We continue to remain the preferred partner for the largest FMCG companies in India, including Hindustan Unilever, which has launched its new science-based skincare brand, Acne Score, on Nykaa. We also launched IndiaVile, a global influencer-led skincare brand, as well as Fable and Mane, which is an Ayurveda-based haircare brand that is now brought into the country. Through quarter two, we work towards increasing the interaction with our audiences. It gives me immense pleasure to report that our Hot Pink sale delivered the highest ever unique monthly visitors at 25 million. The love and confidence of our customers has helped us to deliver the highest Hot Pink sale across e-commerce, as also the rub-off effect that it has delivered on improving transaction in the offline retail network. Our retail store expansion continues as we are now in 53 cities and our footprint now stands at 121 stores. We expanded our BPC fulfillment centers to a total of 1 million square feet across 31 centers in 11 cities across the country. This has helped us manage our fulfillment costs and bring them down in spite of inflationary pressure. Our house of brand business within our BPC vertical continues to gain strength. The GMV of our own brands stood at almost 2 billion rupees in quarter two of financial year 23. This now accounts for 12.1% of total Nykaa BPC GMV. This is a 64% year-on-year growth. It gives me immense pride to update you on the milestones we have achieved this quarter. K-Beauty, one of our brands in partnership with Katrina Kaif, Dot & Key, the brand that we had acquired earlier last year, they have both achieved the status of ₹1 billion plus brands. We already have Nykaa Cosmetics sitting at 2.5 billion plus levels. So we are building brands that are delivering to consumer expectations, and we are doing this while achieving scale and size of our own brands. We continue to expand the distribution of our own brands through the in-house B2B vertical. This has helped us have our own brands reach 2,130 general trade, as well as 132 modern trade outlets in India. We are already serving about 2,314 retailers through our Superstore app. We celebrated the third anniversary of K-Beauty just recently, and it has also won the Best Beauty Award of the Year, which was awarded by the Vogue Beauty Festival, reinstating our investor confidence in the brand. Continuing with regard to the house of brand business, we had a variety of new launches from Nykaa Cosmetics. Our flagship brand K-Beauty, our Nykaa Skin RX, which is our premium skincare offering, as well as Wanderlust, which is our bath and body range. I'd like to highlight that our own brands straddle price points from very affordable Nykaa Cosmetics nail point in the bottom left corner of the slide to the premium skincare base moisturizer at ₹1,400 for the combo. Even the Wanderlust brand that specializes in bath and body has products ranging from more mass market roll-on deos to the higher end bath and body ranges. We have some very interesting new launches by Dot & Key across superfood-based serums and the affordable face wash launches. Dot & Key launched a unique lip balm created at a price point of ₹249. They are growing the appeal and the marketability of the brand. Earth Rhythm, another company where we have taken significant stake, though not dominant, Earth Rhythm launched some of the unique bath lotions in time for the winter season rush for the body care products. Our offline retail footprint has grown now across 53 cities to 121 stores. The segment now contributes to 7.5% of our BPC GMV and tracks healthy 3,640 rupees per square foot per month. We now have 1.2 lakh square feet in retailing space, and quarter two has demonstrated a robust 19% same store sales growth for stores open till March 2021. Finally, we'd like to talk about the key metrics we track for the beauty and personal care business. Trailing 12-month customers are at 9.1 million. with growth of 31% year-on-year. Average monthly unique visitors of 22 million for the quarter, and visits were at least 3.5 times in a month, a robust metric according to us for the category of beauty. Order to visit improved to 3.6% in quarter two of financial year 23, almost a 73 basis point improvement year on year, demonstrating the attractiveness of the platform. The number of orders were at 8.4 million in the quarter, and they delivered a growth of 39% year on year, while the AOV stood at 1,872 for the second quarter of this year. These metrics continue to underpin our testament to driving high quality traffic to the platform and also impacting sustainability of our business model. Now I'm happy to hand over the presentation to Advaita for the update on fashion business.
Hi everyone, I really look forward today to talking to you about the fashion business. Starting with some of our highlights, first and foremost, we take great pleasure to announce a partnership with Revolve. Revolve is one of the world's most renowned fashion TV retailers, known for bringing the best and the trendiest fashion to many consumers across the US, and in many ways their positioning is very similar to what we're trying to secure at Nykaa Fashion. So via this partnership, which we've been working on for over a year, we now have access to more than 400 international brands. We did an explosive campaign recently with the Revolve, with Revolve in mind, and we had a reach of more than 31 million customers, majorly driven through a very strong influencer outreach. This builds for our global store portfolio, which I spoke about last quarter as well, and this further, remains in line with our ambition to bring the world's best global fashion brands to the Indian consumer. Moving on, the second thing we've done is gearing up for the festive season. We launched the Nykaa Fashion Brand Festive Carnival. We had over 2,500 brands bring incredibly interesting and exciting festive wear to the platform, and this really helped build and maintain our positioning from a curation point of view. And we did see the highest ever monthly unique visitors for this sale, and we saw 18 million monthly unique visitors visit the site in September. We remain bullish on exploring an omnichannel strategy for the fashion business. We do believe that there is a role for physical stores to play, so it remains early days. So we did open two stores on the fashion side of the business this quarter. One is for our multi-brand fashion website, which will be known as under the label Nykaa Fashion. And then we also did open a store for our lingerie and innerwear brand called Naked. So early days, as I mentioned, for physical retail, but it is a start. Moving on, we will talk about differentiation and positioning. This is something I typically touch on every quarter, but I think it remains really incredibly important for me that as we're building our business, we make sure that we have a differentiation. And so we do look at this very carefully. And today I'll talk about three propositions we're building that we do believe is contributing to a unique positioning in the minds of the consumer. The first is global stores, which I did mention on the prior page as well. That remains the focus. We now have more than 400 brands across the world that we're bringing into the country. Many of these are exclusively available with us. And this global store merchandise now contributes 13% of our Western wear offering in terms of GMV. So this is an incredibly stark uptick in terms of the contribution, given that it's only been a couple of months since we launched the property. Next, we have a property called Hidden Gems, and the whole idea here is to look inward and to find some of the country's best labels and emerging designers. And so we really do scour the country to bring really exciting brands, and we have more than 220 brands now as part of this portfolio. It's been 18 months since we launched the Hidden Gems portfolio, and it now contributes 7% of Nykaa Fashion's overall GMV. Finally, I've spoken about this, but I do feel that a very trend and fashion-forward platform has to emphasize new season. We want to be known as a destination for new season. And therefore, this quarter, again, we hosted a big event called First in Fashion, where we had over 1,000 brands participate and provide us their latest and newest stock and newest launches. And that, too, is now contributing about 24% of the overall GMV of Nykaa Fashion for the quarter. So all in all, these metrics are supporting some metrics that we track that sort of prove that differentiation. Those are the two metrics at the bottom of this page. The first is average order value. Our average order value for the quarter is now 4,425. This is 10% higher year on year, and it is far higher than what we actually typically see as an average. Similarly, in terms of conversion, our conversion rate has improved dramatically. It's 32% higher year on year. I'm now going to talk about our own brand strategy. We continue to believe that own brands have a very important place and role to play in our fashion journey. Over the last 2.5 to 3 years, as you know, we've built up our own brand portfolio. On the left-hand side, you can see that we now have 11 owned brands. A couple of these we've acquired. Many of these we built in-house. And from a GMV perspective, you can see that the GMV of these owned brands for quarter two stood at 78 crores. This is up 169% year-on-year. Highlighting a couple of the metrics on the same chart at the bottom, you can see that our own brands, GMV, now accounts for 13% of our fashion consolidated GMV. This is a really impressive expansion of percentage and share. You can see that a year ago, the same own brands accounted for about 7%. 7% has moved up to 13%, and this is on the back of consolidated efforts across 11 different brands. On the right-hand side, you can see that we're continuing to add many SKUs across our brands, and we're trying to cover all sorts of categories, whether it's western wear, whether it's laundry, whether it's footwear. And right below that, I have spoken about this, and I'll repeat that we remain focused that our own brands should have a life of their own beyond our platform. So some of our brands, not all, but some will have distribution, whether it's in multi-brand outlets, whether it's in general trade, whether it's with their own stores. And today, at 78 crores of own brand GMV, 45% of it comes actually from third-party platforms. Moving on the next couple of slides, we give you a glimpse of our own brand imagery, just so you have a sense of what we're doing. So you can see, the product that we're creating, all of this is created, designed in-house, shot internally. Move on. Finally, I'll talk about the metrics for the fashion business. On the left-hand side, you see that the orders are now at 1.2 million for this quarter. That's a 41% year-on-year growth. On the right of that, you'll see that the trailing 12-month consumers are at 2.1 million. This is 66% higher than the year before. Under that, I insinuated this before, but the average order value has gone up dramatically. And it is at 4,425 versus 4,000 or so a year ago. And finally, on the right-hand side, you'll see our GMV. So the consolidated fashion business's GMV is almost 600 crores. This is split as two parts of our business. The pink bar is what we call our multi-brand NykaaFashion.com. And the other bar is our other platform. So you can see that the multi-brand business is growing at 55%, whereas the sales on other platforms is growing at 1%. So with that, I'll hand over to, I'll just add two more metrics which are mentioned elsewhere in the deck, but are important, I think, to, round out the conversation on the fashion business. We do continue to track that fashion is about 26% of the consolidated business in terms of GMV, and it remains contribution margin positive, and in fact, the contribution margin for fashion has gone up by 138 bps year on year. So with that, I'll hand over to Arvind to take us through the financials. Thank you.
Thank you, Adwaita, and good evening, friends. I'm really glad, this is Arvind Agrawal, really glad to talk to you about our quarter two performance. And why I say that, because we have not only maintained the growth momentum, but also improved our EBITDA margin. And I think that's quite impressive in the operating context, weighed down by inflationary pressure. The core business, if you look at the revenue chart, this quarter we have grown 39% year on year, which is slightly lower than last quarter when it was 41%, but that also had a positive base effect on the comp of quarter one of last year when there was a COVID-based impact. So maintaining the growth momentum, beauty business has grown 35% year on year, but other new businesses have also ramped really well this quarter. Talking about the gross margin, we are reporting 45.3% gross margin, which is about 259 bps improvement year over year, and about 90 bps quarter on quarter. Talking about the EBITDA, this quarter we are reporting 61 crore EBITDA, which is more than doubled in absolute numbers versus quarter two last year. And very impressively, the margins have improved 170 bps. From 3.3% to 5% year over year. And it has also improved by almost 100 bps quarter on quarter. In terms of PBIT, we have 8.8 crores of profit before tax this quarter, which is marginally better than quarter one last year. quarter one of this year, and which is quite better than quarter two of last year, almost 6x of 1.4 crore last year same quarter. And I think I'll go to next chart and try and explain that organically we are doing quite well on operating efficiencies and variable cost. And not only that, we are investing into building capabilities that will give us quite good operating leverage in the times to come. But these are really important investments to make. So if you look at this chart, we have upped our stores capacity by 70%, warehouse capacity by 74%, and I'm comparing H1 of last year to H1 of this year, like a one-year journey. So these infrastructural investments have been really accelerated over last 1 year. We have also recruited almost 800 employees in last 1 year. And it comes across verticals which are like variable headcount linked to business growth, in B2B, in general trade, modern trade channels, and retail store rollout, but also some bit of augmentation on our corporate finance and support function, but that's just 40% of overall growth. And then we have also promoted, and you know, we did not add office capacities much in last 3 years, but now with the work from office environment and people coming back, we have added to office capacities also by almost 80%, from 0.9 lakh square feet to 1.7 lakh square feet. And obviously these are adding to our fixed cost line, and it shows up in our P&L. So let me explain you the next chart on how we should look at EBITDA margin waterfall. So last year we had 3.3% and now 5% this quarter. And if you look at the green movements here, the biggest movement, green movement is coming from gross profit, which is quite good because it's coming out of advertisement revenue going up and favorable product mix. So that's quite, you know, while we have maintained the growth momentum and also improved the quality of business growth. Even on the fulfillment cost line, we made some structural corrections and went into regionalization strategy last year, and that's paying back. And 73 bps year over year improvement is showing up here. In terms of marketing, we had high marketing costs last year, same quarter, and 313 bps improvement year over year. Part of it is driven by the efficiencies which shows up in order to conversion ratio and some sanity in digital marketing costs, but part of it is because we did not do a big brand building exercise this quarter, which we had done last year in the same quarter. So it's more of a seasonality in that sense. Talking about the other line, selling and distribution expense has gone up by 159 bps, which is because, like I said, we have been expanding into physical economy and EB2B, which is our new initiative, and also general trade, modern trade expansion. So that is under selling and distribution expense. In terms of employee expense, we have added almost 35-40% extra manpower to support our business verticals in their growth ambitions, but also invested very strongly to our technology function. So this is a cost which should pay back in form of operating leverage over time, but year on year that shows an increase. And then finally, other expenses, which is 108 bps higher because, like I said, we also invested into office capacities and administrative expenses which go in line with the employee headcount growth. In spite of these increase in the fixed costs, we have delivered higher EBITDA margin at 5%, driven by operating efficiencies as reflected in variable costs, as I explained earlier. I should move to next chart, and just to give a little bit more color on how the infrastructure investment also impacts lines below EBITDA. So while EBITDA has more than doubled year on year to 51 crore, 112% year on year growth, but many of the cost lines, fixed cost lines in the nature are also showing similar kind of growth. So since we have invested into stores, warehouse, office, capital expenditure, depreciation has gone up by 96%. Even because with the new leases coming up in these properties, it's also shows in terms of lease accounting impact in two lines, amortization and interest on lease. So both have also gone up quite significantly year over year. And then interest on borrowing has gone up because our inventory investment and working capital investment has gone up to support the business growth. So this shows that between EBITDA and PBIT, we have increase in fixed costs. In fact, if you see the bottom table, it also shows because of the Ind AS accounting, where there is a straight line method followed for all the lease costs in terms of the future costs, and then this is discounted and spread over in a straight line method. While the cash lease cost is 28 crore, but the P&L takes a hit of 34.6 crore. So in the initial period of leases, there is higher cost in the P&L. Of course, that will unwind towards the later part of the lease period. So in that case, these are also some of the future costs, but that those are required to be booked as per the Ind AS accounting, which is the standard we follow. Finally, next chart talks about the unit economics of different verticals. And I'm trying to compare 1 year journey for each of these verticals. Talking about the BPC cost, like I said, it has grown 39% on GMV year over year and 35% on revenue. But if you also look at the unit economics parameters at the bottom of this page, in terms of key ratios to NSV, it has, despite being a large business, it has improved gross margin by 300 bps. And that's driven by advertisement income, own brand share going up, and the variable product mix, like I said earlier. Not only that, fulfillment cost has come down from 10.5 to 9.4, almost 100 bps improvement. And marketing cost, which is 10% plus kind of number, has come down to 7.8% now in this quarter. So almost 200 bps improvement year over year. And S&D costs are kept flat at 3.9%. With this, beauty has delivered almost 660 bps incremental margins on contribution level, which is quite significant for a large size business like this. And if I look at the fashion business, even there the business has been growing impressively and 600 crore kind of size now. With the revenue growth of 32%, if you look at the unit economic parameters there, gross margin has improved from 39.1 to 44.6, so almost 550 bps improvement in gross margin in 1 year. And it has also kept the fulfillment cost quite in check at 10.4% despite having pressure of higher returns. It has also kept the marketing cost under check at 25.7%. And the only cost line which has increased is S&D, which is because our own brands are now expanding into general trade, modern trade, and various channels, third-party platforms. So there, the commission that we pay comes and sits under selling and distribution expense. So with that kind of concept, with the improvement in gross margin and investment to S&D, it has still managed to improve the contribution margin by almost 100 bps from 1.3 to 2.3. So it's the kind of calibrated growth that we are targeting in fashion while keeping our playbook intact and not really going super aggressive in acquiring customers. But of course, that choice always exists. But as of now, we follow the guardrail of being contribution positive. And in terms of others, this is a mix of various businesses which we can't talk about. And I think there the numbers will not be comparable year over year because EB2B is a different model and it has just come up in the last 3-4 quarters. So year on year numbers from a B2C alone kind of model has changed to a mix of B2B and B2C. So I'll not talk much about it. At a suitable time, we should separate out B2B numbers so that we can talk about unit economics there as well. The next chart is a summary of what I said so far. And since I've talked mostly about year on year growth, I will try and explain the quarter on quarter numbers here. So this quarter, we are reporting 131 crore revenue, which is a 7% growth sequentially quarter on quarter. And in terms of the EBITDA margin, we are reporting 661 crore, which is 33% higher in terms of the sequential growth. And profit before tax is 8.8 crore, which is 5% sequentially higher, and 5.2 crore, which is the tax number. I think in terms of H1, if you can summarize it in this final right-hand box, 40% growth on the revenue year over year, and then coming to EBITDA, which is for H1 is almost 107 crore, 92% year over year growth, so more than double the growth of revenue, which shows the operating efficiency, and 10 crore profit after tax, which is 117% year over year growth. So I'll end the financial presentation here and we'll move to Q&A now.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much, Arvind. I now request the moderator to open the Q&A queue, please.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Participants, to ask a question via web, please click on the raise hand button on the toolbar at the Q&A tab and click raise hand. The operator will announce your name when it is your turn to ask a question. Participants connected via audio call may enter star and one on their telephone keypad. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Nihal Jham from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much and congratulations on the strong performance. Three questions from my side. I'll start off with the BPC segment where, as you've highlighted, the contribution margin is something that has seen a significant improvement, whether you look at it on a YOY basis or over the last 3 quarters as we have the data available. I just wanted to understand that would this be the right unit economics to understand that the business can, you know, track going forward? And also, Arvind, if you could ballpark convert this contribution margin to what would be the EBITDA margin for reference perspective.
Yeah, so I think in terms of improvement in gross margin driving that contribution margin, that's quite good, and I think at least 200 bps out of 259 bps is structural and should sustain as an advantage to us because our both online and offline channel and revised and old brand is also contributing well. Very importantly, advertisement revenue is doing really well. If you look at the commentaries from various FMCG, they talk about digital marketing taking a bigger share of their advertisement budget. So that's good news. So we should be able to continue to monetize it better. So I think healthy gross margin is something that we are definitely looking forward. In terms of fulfillment cost, we might invest part of the savings or efficiency that we got into better customer experience, but it should operate at a sub 10% kind of level. And marketing is a choice. In some quarters, we have the marketing spend, especially on brand building. Like quarter three is expected to be a big season, so we might up it there, but it should also operate, with, let's say, almost 150 bps improvement year over year in that range. And so I think out of the 660 bps, 400 to 500 bps is something that we see as structural, and it should also logically flow down to EBITDA as well. But yeah, you know, EBITDA, we have added costs in terms of employee cost lines. And some of them are also investment to future, especially technology concerns. So the operating leverage might come over time. I won't be able to give more guidance on EBITDA number here because it's very dynamically, people cost is something that we dynamically allocate across verticals depending on the lead quarter to quarter. It's quite fungible resource. And maybe when we come to the annual results, we will try and separate out EBITDA also for you.
So that is helpful. Moving on to the second question on the fashion business. This was a quarter where there was also some part of the festive period that came in, but we've seen a quarter-on-quarter fall in the orders that we've serviced. If, you know, you could just give some highlight on, you know, any specific reasons for that.
I'll come in there. I think, look, we're feeling pretty good about the fashion business from a year-on-year perspective. The fashion business, the core platform, which I mentioned earlier, is continuing to grow about 55% year-on-year, which on a base which is now significantly higher. Within that, the orders have gone up on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Yes, the sequential growth is more flattish than a serious rise. But every quarter, we're sort of taking the right decisions in terms of how much to invest versus how much to guardrail in terms of contribution margin positive. So I think it's a quarter-on-quarter decision. What I can also say is that we did start amping up the marketing spend and gearing up for festive by September. So we definitely had different behavior sort of in July, August, and different outcome in September. And that was more us kind of mapping out our priorities for quarter two versus quarter three. So we do know that seasonally quarter two tends to be a little bit weaker on the fashion side of the business, whereas quarter three tends to be seasonally better. So for me, it's always also a question of phasing out the growth and when is the right time to double down versus not. A couple other metrics I'll share because I think others might also have questions is on fashion, we're also starting to see very interesting and strong repeat behavior. So this quarter, we have released it to the to the exchange as well earlier today that in quarter two, fashion saw 66% of its revenue coming from repeat behavior. So it's also a quarter where we're seeing repeat really starting to kick in. And new customer acquisition is always something we can choose to accelerate. It's simply a question of how much we want to accelerate and what the pressure might be in terms of profitability with that acceleration. So it's a choice that's continuously being made.
Just one last question from my side was on the international business. If you could just give a sense on the timelines of the launches and the potential investments or maybe some losses that may come as we scale this business up. And I'll do that.
On the international business, we have just recently entered into a strategic alliance with Apparel Group. It is now being rolled out in terms of setting up the the subsidiaries and the operating entities needed to roll out that business in the region. I would think that the first stores can be operational within definitely next 12 months, and e-commerce websites may take a little longer or maybe similar time. So yes, we are in the execution mode. We will continue to build our business in a same proven style that Nykaa has always done, and our partners are also aligned with that plan. So everything will be more organically, almost being treated like a startup in the GCC country that is trying to execute an omni-channel beauty multi-brand retailer strategy in the region.
Thank you so much. I wish you all the best.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Percy Panthaki from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everyone. My first question is on the fashion business. So the fashion market size is like 5 times that of BPC. We are a relatively new entrant, very low base, very low market shares. At this stage of our life cycle, the NSV growth being only 20% YOY seems a little surprising. I understand that a few other parameters that you mentioned are trending positively, but finally, they are means to an end, and the end is the NSV growth. So can you comment on what really is pulling down this number, and what can we do to really push it up more aggressively? That's my first question.
So I think I'm going to address this question in two ways. So the first is in terms of just talking about what part of the fashion pie we want. So we all know that fashion is a massive market by any estimate, at least about 5x the size of the beauty market. However, we want to be extremely thoughtful about what part of the pie we get. Absolutely, can we grow a lot faster from a GMV NSV perspective? We can. But we want to be thoughtful about the quality of the customer we're getting, the average order value that we're getting, and sort of the premiumness that we're being able to deliver on. I think this is a very tricky industry, and if you sort of loosen your reins on what type of customer you want, I think your profitability can get impacted faster than one realizes. So what I would say as an overarching comment is that it's actually easy to grow a lot faster, but we're sort of taking a more measured, thoughtful approach, saying that even if the fashion market is so large, we want a particular sliver that makes sense to us, that makes sense to the Nykaa DNA and the Nykaa strategy, which is to build sustainable businesses with a clear path to profitability. I think the second point I was going to make is, so keeping in mind that there's a choicefulness in terms of the type of audience and the type of customer we want, what I will also say is that comparing year on year also brings in the fact that last year had some COVID dynamics, which make it a base that is a little bit hard to compare to. There are two particular things I want to highlight. About a year ago, and even before that, in the peak of COVID, fashion and Nykaa fashion in particular saw much lower returns than what we're seeing now. Those low returns which we saw a year and some quarters ago were actually deflated returns that were not sustainable. So as you know, the world normalizes, return rates are just going up back to normal natural levels. So I think the NSE to GMB ratio we're now seeing, sure, there is some improvement still possible and we're working on that. But this is a more realistic ratio that we see. And our understanding from the competitive dynamics is that the ratio that we have and the return percentages we have is still far lower than what competition has. So that's one thing, that the base effect is a little bit non-comparable. The second thing is, you know, again, in terms of the base effect, last year we saw very rapid customer acquisition on the fashion side. And I think fashion, mega fashion in particular, most of them really gained from the COVID phenomenon because it was a lot easier for us to acquire customers last year when a lot of people weren't going out and were online. So I think one thing we're struggling with on the fashion side of the business, we're not struggling, but it is an effect, is that we're comparing constantly on a base which saw a lot of you know, uniqueness given the COVID scenario that existed.
Yeah, but I just want to come in and also say that our growth should not be judged as, is this all that is possible for this strategy. I think there is a clear, you know, clear plan at Nykaa to try and maintain a financial discipline of trying to balance, you know, our profitability that we generate. And that is plowed back to acquire new customers, both for beauty, fashion, or any other new business that we are building. And again, yes, in that light, you could say that, you know, the new customer acquisition for fashion could have been stronger or faster. We definitely do see a pretty strong returning consumer behavior, and pretty much both for fashion and beauty business, we do feel that if we can acquire more customers, it will be good for the long-term business. But we are trying to be disciplined about the pace of growth, if I make sense there.
Got it, got it. My second question is on the international venture. So, firstly, as you mentioned, GCC market size is quite high. Per cap consumptions are significantly higher than India. So it's a much more mature market there. So unlike India, where basically you are the primary driver of developing the BPC market in India, you as in Nykaa is one of the primary agents of market development, I would put it that way. In GCC, your role is going to be different. So how do you see your role in GCC? And secondly, when the market size is so huge and it's such a lucrative market, how is it that the e-com penetration is so low and people are mainly shopping online? So is this, because it's a mature market, is this an established behavior and that's how the market has sort of evolved, and therefore to shift people online is going to be something of a difficulty for you in your view? I mean, any thoughts? I know I'm asking too many questions within this question. There are many sub-questions, but I mean, you get my general drift as to what I am sort of looking for.
Yeah. So what I can tell you is that e-commerce penetration for beauty business in that is also going up. So I would not say that it is not, it is a market that geographically was not very widespread. If you were to exclude Saudi Arabia, then I think it was not geographically very widespread, and as a result, a lot of retail was happening through physical retail. But still, there is already a lot of influencer-led commerce there, as well as a lot of penetration of e-commerce is increasing. So we do see that it is, again, a very interesting market from adoption of beauty, adoption of e-commerce, and ability. There is a huge socio-economic changes happening in the countries, you know, every country in the region, especially Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. So we do feel that it doesn't feel that you are too late on in the game. It does feel like early days where, yes, there could be a couple of players already established, but there seems to be room for more players, including someone coming out of India, taking a whole bunch of brands that would be interesting in the region from you know, what the brands have to offer perspective. That doesn't mean we won't do global brands. There'll be a multi-brand retailer that will retail both global as well as India, brands of Indian origin.
Any guidance you can give on the total investment over a five-year horizon and the impact on the company level EBITDA margin due to startup losses of this venture?
It's difficult to give that because we don't have a very clear path spelled out. A lot of early work is going on. If we can build this business in a way where our near-term profitability of physical retail business can help us invest for the online business, that is how we would like to do it. Finally, the population size is also limited. I think it is more larger population countries that tend to be quite difficult in terms of building out an e-commerce platform. It's easier in smaller countries, but it all depends on whether there is an inherent consumption and are you able to appeal to that consumer and connect with that consumer. We do believe that with the strength of us as well as Apparel Group, which is a very large retailer with very extremely successful brands that they retail both predominantly offline but also online, we do believe that together coming up this partnership gives us a chance to succeed in that market.
Right, final Falguni, thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vijit Jain from Citi. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. I have one question specifically on the fulfillment expenses. Arvind, you noted that there was a bit of that QQ increases owing to inflation. If I look at on a per order basis for BPC, this looks like a 10% QQ increase in fulfillment expenses. But on the other hand, for fashion, there is a decent decline on a QQ basis. So I'm just wondering, does that divergence have to do with your regionalization or warehouse strategy within BPC and, you know, associated investments within that, or is there something else? That's my first question.
No, I think first of all, beauty and fashion are completely different stages of maturity business, so they are not comparable in that sense, and also because the operating model is quite different in beauty versus fashion. So I think if I explain you the beauty number itself, yes, there is some increased QQ because there's some inflation in the air shipment side of it. Because it's also a quarter just before the season. So we also make a step up investment so that we are ready for the season. So part of it will again unwind into next quarter.
Got it. Yeah, makes sense. And my second question is, in the new initiatives, what you classify under others, that EBITDA waterfall that you showed obviously shows about 460 basis point of EBITDA impact, margin impact from investments in selling, distribution, employee expenses, other expenses, etc. And obviously there's a contribution margin for the other businesses as well. So I'm just wondering, is it fair to assume that there's about 400-450 basis point of cumulative EBITDA level impact with these new investments? That's the basic level of investment you're doing in these new businesses? Or is some of that also, you know, reflecting increases in other in beauty and fashion as well?
No, I think that when I talk about the lines like selling and distribution, it's not necessarily only new business. Even our own beauty brands and fashion brands are also going into offline through modern trade and general trade. So even there, the costs go up. Even the beauty advisors in the retail store, so that cost also comes in there. So it is basically funding a reach and penetration for various businesses to get a stronger offline play and omni-channel play. So we should not try and see it only as new business line. I think the overall impact of new businesses, we have given the contribution this quarter is about 16 crores. So even if you annualize it, four quarters could be 70, 80 crores. That's the level we are operating at. But these are also in a high growth phase. So as we scale them up, initially the losses will increase and then over time they will come down. So I can't give you any specific number on new business investment, but we are funding it from our internal accrual. That's very clear.
Got it. And my last question.
selling and distribution expense, just to say what Arvind said, that is coming from every business because we do believe in GTMT distribution and a wider distribution, and that is what we are putting in place for whether it is beauty private label brands, fashion private label brands, as well as in EB2B business that we are building, both for our own brands as well as third party brand, because we believe that, you know, if you look at any data, there was a large part of the market which sat outside of both online and modern trade, and we want to be players in that, in the beauty area. So I think that is the thing.
All right. And one last question, just on the working capital side, the net change in working capital that you have in the first half of this fiscal year, should we think of that as kind of inventory build-up before the festive season and all the sales that you have in the post-Diwali sales that you typically launch? Is that how I should look at it? It's inventory, partly inventory build-up and partly some of the other investments?
Yeah, I think you are partly right. So, you know, that change in working capital, and we have made investments into inventory for sure ahead of the season. So that's all, that's definitely part of the reason it should unwind in quarter three. But also because we opened three new warehouses in beauty, in even EB2B, Nykaa distribution, we opened many new warehouses. So as we open more fulfillment centers, we have to stock them up to make the regional availability up. So initially there is a, you know, catch-up investment to be done, and then that gets stabilized over time, right? So before the season, we have expanded the capacity reach, and also within the existing warehouses, we are stocking up much strongly, you know, before we hit October sale or November sale.
Got it. Thanks. Thanks,
so both have contributed.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sheila Rathi from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Ms. Sheila Rathi, could you please unmute your audio and go ahead with your question? It looks like you muted your microphone. Can you please unmute and go ahead with your question? There seems to be no response. We'll check the connection for Ms. Sheila Rathi. In the meanwhile, we'll move to our next question. That's from the line of Sachin Dixit from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Congratulations on a brilliant set of results. I had a couple of questions. The first one was with regards to the marketing spend. So is it possible for us to bring down? I know there were some brand marketing spends that in the last quarter, this quarter, they seem to be minimal. Is it possible to break down the marketing spends between, say, an influencer marketing and what a customer acquisition cost or performance marketing spends would be?
We have not given those kind of micro cuts and details into how we spend the marketing. But we can definitely say that 80 to 85% is digital marketing. Digital channel, digital marketing and content marketing. 10 to 15% tend to be more above the line and brand building kind of spend, but that varies quarter to quarter.
Okay. And I'll pass on this. So on the next question, like, Austin, we have more and more digital warehouses. I remember earlier we used to share like how many orders were getting delivered within 2 days, next day, stuff like that. So is there any movement on those metrics as well, thanks to the regional warehouses?
So it's in fact with the regional expansion of fulfillment center getting closer to customers, that metric is only improving. And we are at industry standard in terms of being able to deliver almost 98% shipment in less than 5 days. And of course, we deliver much faster in metro and urban. And overall, we are able to deliver 98% shipments in less than 5 days.
Okay. So just one last question.
The distributed warehouse will only improve, so by maybe next quarter we'll share some more.
And just one final question, there is a sharp drop in trade payables during the half yearly balance sheet data. What's the reason for that would be?
Yeah, so, you know, it's like this, while we have big suppliers, which are like big companies, and they are self-sufficient on working capital. But we also have large D2C suppliers, and we want them to stock up sufficiently, invest in the manufacturing line, and then they supply to us. So we have been able to, I mean, we have been paying them faster so that they can also ramp up ahead of the season.
Got it. Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sheila Rathi from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my question. My first question was with respect to the initiative you had taken last quarter with respect to the everyday value offerings. So just wanted to get your perspective in terms of how we are doing on this bit and what is the kind of customer traction you are getting.
Yeah, hi. You were Anshit and I are on the call. Maybe I can take that question. So, Sheila, what I would say is that it's been a, you know, as we discussed in the past, we've wanted to, given that we are already very well established and the dominant leader on the beauty side of DTC, we also want to create a sizable business on the personal care side. The reason is that we believe our existing customers can transact with us at a much higher frequency if they begin to buy personal care products on our platform. And so that was really the genesis behind Nykaa Everyday. What I would say is that it is bearing fruit. Obviously, we don't disclose, we're not breaking it out in any real fashion, but what I can tell you is qualitatively it is bearing fruit, and we are seeing consumers who previously only looked at Nykaa as a beauty or as a cosmetics retailer now looking at us more holistically for their more personal care needs, including hair care and skin care and other categories. And I think that reflects in our category mix. We're now makeup and skincare are, you know, equal parts of our overall business, and other categories like hair care and fragrance, deodorants, wellness, oral care is all is also growing for us. So I would say that is playing out nicely, and we are putting a lot of effort into driving that initiative. And I do believe that with the regional rollout of warehouses that Arvind spoke about, that will only help further improve our commitment to faster delivery for our consumers, which is slightly more important when buying more personal care items than it is when buying more expensive beauty items. So I think as the regional warehouse strategy continues to play out, that will have additional benefits for our everyday strategy.
Thank you, Anjali. Just to follow up here, do we have a number in mind with respect to the rollout of fulfillment centers or warehouses in the next few quarters?
No, it's early days. So at the moment, we are going into 5-6 large states, you know, states like Uttar Pradesh and some of the other bigger states. And then based on that experiment, we may take a decision to go into further next.
Understood. One more question. Yeah, sorry.
But I think that, you know, we have added 80% capacity in fulfillment centers. And generally, the cycle follows in a manner where you try to put up these centers in H1 so that you can really use them in H2 when the season picks up. So I think most of the investment for this year is kind of done. We might add a couple of more. And I'm talking about beauty side of it. But yeah, of course, in distribution, we will have to keep adding. It's still in the build-up phase. I think if you look at our IPO objective and how we raise the money and what we declared there, we have given us the schedule of utilization of IPO process into fulfillment center. And 1/3 of that is utilized by now, 2/3 is going to be utilized in the next 2 years. So that kind of gives you idea how we are building out the capacity.
Understood. Thank you very much, Arvind. Just one question here on the beauty side. With the complete reopening happening, especially in the last, you know, few months, so what is the kind of customer traction we are seeing in the physical stores? And is there any shift with respect to demand moving away from online to offline? And just a part of it in terms of delivery, are we still following the hyper local delivery model now where we are using inventory from the stores to deliver to the customers in that locality? Just two questions, and that's it for me.
Yeah, maybe I can kick it off and others can add. So, Sheila, what I would say is that you know, we did see a strong rebound in physical retail in the beginning of the quarter, but to our pleasant surprise, it doesn't seem to be cannibalizing the e-commerce business. So both are growing at a healthy clip, and I think that's reflecting in the BP vertical GMV and net revenue growth numbers that you've seen year over year. So, you know, we have to keep in mind that online penetration for BP consumption in India today is still so low, less than 10%, and 90% of BPC consumption happens offline. So even if there is a rebound in offline, there is this macro trend in India, which is the move, the shift from offline to online, which is inevitable, and that trend continues to remain. So I think in some other mature markets where there is cannibalization and the demand does shift from online back to offline, in a very nascent market like India, where penetration is still so low, not only for beauty consumption, but especially for beauty consumption online, this macro trend, we believe, will continue to play out. And it's reflecting in our numbers. Both online and offline grew at a very healthy clip. But yes, I think retail has rebounded nicely with the pandemic clearly in the rear view now.
I'll just supplement it. If you look at the BP growth chart, H2 of last year, we were at about 32%. And H1 this year, we have grown about 39%. So there is a step up, which means that people are going out and shopping in offline. But at the same time, they continue to shop online. So being omnichannel has really helped. And I think the normalcy coming in and COVID-free shopping, our growth rates have actually improved in beauty business.
Ms. Rafi, do you have any more questions?
Anything on the hyperlocal delivery model?
Yeah, so, you know, hyperlocal, it was only used during lockdown period when, you know, instead of letting the inventory be, because in our industry, like, air conditioning is needed for many of the luxury products. So during that time when the malls were shut, we used hyperlocal, and that was the capability that was developed to fulfill from there. Because on an average, we have 4.5-5 items in a cart, it doesn't make sense for us to fulfill on hyperlocal. Plus, our stores are very expensive real estate and not conducive to packing and shipping, products from there. So this hyperlocal is being used only to manage certain slow-moving inventory, and we usually fulfill from our warehouses.
Thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Garima from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks so much for the opportunity. My first question really is on the BPC segment. Now, when you show the contribution margin calculation, which in 2Q FY23 was a 24% contribution profit margin to revenue, does this also fully account for the rent that is payable for the physical stores that you operate?
Rentals for the store come below EBITDA. Like I showed you, EBITDA to, you know, people charge, right? So because these are long-term leases, we count them as a lease amortization cost, and there's also an interest element to this. So it doesn't come in contribution.
Understood. So if I have to really see profitability, I understand that rent is a fixed cost, but to some extent it is variable, because the more stores you open, the more rent you will need to pay. So ultimately some kind of an adjustment should be done to understand the contribution profit a little better. So anyway, that is that point is clear. Second question really was, could you help us understand the period ending debt and cash, because sometimes these items sit under multiple heads. And it does look like you've consumed a fair amount of capital during the first half of the year. So how should we look at this going forward?
Yeah, so cash balance end of September is about 365 crores. And you are right that you made significant investment in first half of the year. But you see, most of it is working capital. You should unwind it H2. Of course, there's CapEx also, but CapEx is not very big element. two-thirds of these investments are going into working capital.
So you're saying there is
there are some seasonal factor here. Yeah. Absolutely. And there are some payouts for the acquisitions we've made. So in the cash flow, you will see almost 70 crore that is paid out for Arduino and NVIDIA acquisitions.
Understood, Arjun. Thanks so much. Those were my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Jay Gandhi from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So just a couple of basic questions I had. This is on the unit economics in fashion. Given that it's a marketplace, I'm yet to get a handle on it. So I'm saying you have a certain take rate that you charge, and then from that you kind of have your expenses of, fulfillment, marketing and stuff. But I assume that in a marketplace model, fulfillment costs are typically a pass-through. Just correct my understanding if I'm wrong.
Your voice is cracking, yeah.
Mr. Jay Gandhi, if you're on a hands-free mode, can you switch to handset and speak, please?
Yes.
Your audio is a bit muffled.
Can you hear me now?
And if you could repeat your question.
Yeah, can you hear me now? Am I audible?
Yeah.
Better.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, so I'm saying in a marketplace model, I'm talking about fashion, isn't fulfillment expenses, fulfillment costs a pass-through? I'm wondering if so, then why do we have a fulfillment expense line item in the first place?
It's a mix. So there are many brands with whom we work kind of on a more holistic margin structure in which fulfillment wouldn't be split out, and then there is small number of brands for which we split it out. So at least in the way to read the fashion PNL, if we can go to that contribution margin slide, I can walk you through it.
Sure.
So, till they pull it up, yep, right here in the second column, you can see, if I can draw your attention to the bottom five rows. So this is kind of the apple-to-apple way of looking at things and not really on revenue, because revenue will have the impact of the commission and slash marketplace mix structure that affects that number. But in these bottom five percentage points, you can see that 44.6 is the margin that we're getting typically from brands. This includes product margin, it includes ad income, it includes services income. But what I would say is that not all brands, follow a very consistent structure. So from some we get, one overarching margin, which includes all inclusive, with others we do more itemized. So this is the all-inclusive amount that we get from brands. And then we make our, expenses, whether that's fulfillment, whether that's marketing and so forth. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm a bit confused. I'll probably take it later. Second is, on the B2B store, I wanted to understand in steady state, what does the working capital of that business look like? Is it a negative working capital business, or is it, a positive one or a deeply negative one, basically, or a neutral one?
Yeah, I think in the long term, so of course, currently it is in the build-out phase. Our inventory is about 45 days, and we enjoy 30 days of credit from the suppliers. So there is some investment there. But in the long run, in this business, actually it is possible to have negative working capital, because you will still enjoy 30 days trade credit, but you will build out the network which will supply to these retailers, let's say, almost every week or alternate week, which means that you will be able to monetize it faster than what you stock up and pay to creators. So it's possible to have negative working capital, but that is few years away in my view.
Got it. And there are no receivables, right? I mean, not meaningful.
There is no, sorry?
No receivables, right?
Even if you give credit to the trade, it will be financed by an NBFC partner. So we do it either prepaid or cash on delivery. But should the retailer choose to, you know, enjoy some credit of, let's say, 15 days, then we pass it on to NBFC partner to fund them. So it's not our receivable at all. We do cash business.
Fair. Well, thanks for this.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Tejas Shah from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible? Hello.
Yeah.
Thanks for the opportunity. My first question pertains to BPC store expansion strategy. So we have now 130 stores in 53 cities. It looks like we are going for width over depth in the store expansion strategy. So just wanted to know the insights we are working with on the same.
Go ahead.
No, maybe I'll kick it off. So I don't, our current strategy, today we're sitting at about 120, 130 stores across 50 cities. So we do believe that it is already quite a wide footprint, as you were saying. Now, with regards to depth, you know, certain cities like whether it's Delhi, NCR, or Mumbai, or Bangalore can have up to anywhere from 6 to 10 stores. Whereas smaller cities might have just one or two. So I think we're taking a very measured approach. We understand the market well. We know where the demand lies, thanks to our e-commerce platform. And we know where the customers live. So our purpose is to build the stores where we know there is demand for the brand which we are selling. So with the two formats you've got, the luxury store format as well as the on-trend store format, we know which catchment requires which format of store. So given our current the current formats we have, as well as our current understanding of the market, we believe that, you know, as we said before publicly, that about 300 plus stores are doable within the next couple of years. So we're well on track to achieve that kind of rollout. And it should be across the top 100 cities. Today we're at 53, so we will probably open the remainder of the stores across until we get to one of the top 100 cities where we do see strong demand from our online business as well.
But, you know, conceptually, we have a format where we are destination stores rather than neighborhood stores for now. And if would we change that strategy, currently we are very focused on beauty as defined rather than personal care, and we are very focused on the destination stores.
Got it. Second question pertains to our inventory. In fact, I have slightly different read on our inventory, considering that Diwali and festive season is in 3Q, and also the fulfillment centers, number of fulfillment centers also increased considerably. I thought inventory has actually not gone up much. So just wanted to understand how seasonality plays between Navratri, Diwali and festivity, if you can help us understand how we should build for inventory built up and coming forward.
I think on the beauty side, as you can say more, but we work on about a 45-day forward-looking inventory. And we also, for imported brands and other brands, we may have as much as 60 days inventory. Within that, we keep trying to optimize and buy the right inventory. And for us, in fact, starting with Navratri, the busy season starts. So it's, but at the same time, our peak event is in November.
Yeah, so I think it's a two-step up. One step up happens, let's say, September end or beginning October. The second step up happens in end of October for, or rather beginning of November for our biggest sale in November. And then that will unwind towards the December. So part of the step up you will see in these numbers. Part of the step up you won't see in quarter numbers, because that will unwind within the quarter itself in Q3.
Sure. And last and follow, bookkeeping question, if I may. Other current assets have increased 130 crore odd from March balance sheet. So what does this pertain to?
Okay, so other current assets have increased because we have paid more advances to suppliers. And that's because, again, especially on our own brand, we need to invest into supply chain from the import stage, importing the raw material stage. So, and since own brand is now picking up as a business, so we have paid some advances there. Again, it's more a working capital investment and should unwind in quarter three. And also increase in
GST balance, which also sits under the same grouping, balance with the statutory authority. So in line with inventory going up, GST balance, GST input also goes up. Again, that's also a timing difference. Once we sell the inventory, then we'll be able to offset this input against the output taxes.
Got it. That's all from my side. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the floor back to the management for closing comments. Over to you.
Hi. We'd like to hope this goes to finally. Do you have any last comments to make on the call?
No, thank you, everyone, for being on the call and patiently listening to our presentation and our sharing of our business updates. So I very much appreciate it. Thank you very much.
We'd like to thank Morgan Stanley for hosting the call for us. This marks the end of the call. Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Morgan Stanley, that concludes today's session. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.